On the other side of this debate are those who say the U.S. must stay in Iraq. Here, too, we looked for concrete plans for what to do next, and we turned to Ellen Lapson. She's the president of the Henry L. Stimson Center and the editor of the recently published Iraq and America, Choices and Consequences. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You write that the U.S. can't pull out of Iraq now, but you also say what's happening isn't working. What's your plan?
We think we have to kind of reset and recalibrate American policy to Iraq, but it was the view of our group that the stakes for the United States, both in Iraq, in the region, and even globally, are pretty high, and that to just walk away from Iraq now would have even more costs for American interests than the impulse to just say, this is too hard, let's come home.
Your group at the Stimson Center.
We convened a group of former practitioners and some academics, and over the past 6 months, we've been thinking about practical course corrections that could be made in Iraq. Our different authors address some ideas in looking very practically at what should we be doing differently in the political arena, promoting reconciliation and also helping the Iraqi government actually begin to be more productive, more effective.
We just spoke with former Senator George McGovern, who said that one big reason the U.S. should leave Iraq, in his opinion, is that the Iraqi people, by and large, don't want U.S. troops there. How does your plan deal with that unpopularity, and what kind of shock do you give to change the U.S. image?
We take as a given that no country wants to be invaded or occupied on a regular basis, and that, of course, it should be an objective of the American policy that we would be able to disengage at an appropriate time when Iraq is stable enough to be able to sustain some of the good things that are happening behind the headlines there. But we do talk about reconfiguring the deployment of American troops so we are less at war with various factions in Iraq and more supporting the Iraqi government in both counterinsurgency and in establishing in a more positive way law and order in key neighborhoods. We also think it would be very helpful for the U.S. to say in unequivocal terms that we don't desire permanent bases in Iraq unless the Iraqi government were to, in a democratic way, request our presence. So that it's very important to signal that we don't want to own their oil, we don't want to permanently have a military presence in their country.
It just came out this past week that one of the U.S. major missions in Iraq, the training of an Iraqi police force, as you say, to sort of uphold law and order, is not working. How could the U.S. reconfigure to sort of support an Iraqi police force if the police force isn't working itself?
Well, obviously, this training process has turned out to be a lot more complicated, perhaps, than people had realized. And to some extent, we really have to keep the Iraqi government focused on identifying where are the rotten apples in the ministries. For example, the Ministry of Interior, which has authority over some of the constabulary and police forces. So to some extent, now that sovereignty has been passed to the Iraqis, they have to make some hard choices about who to fire, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And how to get better people in leadership positions. It does seem to me that the United States has the option of putting some political conditions on our cooperation with them and making sure that we're working to shared objectives. I think that there would be a lot of very positive receptivity that could even affect attitudes towards the United States if the security situation would improve. But again, it's kind of a shared problem. We can shift our focus more smartly, we think, but in the end, the Iraqis, those who are now in government, elected democratically, have to step up to some very difficult decisions.
And what do you see as the consequences of following a plan that would have the U.S. pull out more quickly in sort of a 6 month time frame?
Well, the truth is we would certainly be abandoning this new political class of Iraqis. We would be abandoning the folks who worked with us on this project to invent a new Iraq for the past 4 years, and I think that would go down very badly. It would be seen as a great tragedy or a betrayal of people that were proponents of democratic change in Iraq. But more importantly, I think if we leave too abruptly and there's the chance that Iraq falls even more under Iranian influence, and that neighboring Arab countries are going to say to us, thanks a lot, you've just made our neighborhood even less safe. So I think it would have consequences well beyond Iraq in the region.
Ellen Lapson is the president of the Henry L. Stimson Center and editor of the recently published Iraq and America, Choices and Consequences. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.